And now the role and future of public universities. The battle over the top leadership at the University of Virginia came to a dramatic and surprising end yesterday. The university's governing board voted to reinstate President Teresa Sullivan, capping what had been a painful spectacle for a school whose roots go back to founder Thomas Jefferson.
Mr. Craig.
With high honor and great pleasure, yes.
The move came 16 days after the same board had ousted Sullivan, leading to strong protest by faculty, students, and others around the state. The precise reasons for the board's initial actions were never clear, but were said to involve differences over how fast the university should move in response to budget pressures and changing technology. Yesterday, Sullivan called on all concerned to come together.
I do not ask that we sweep any differences under a rug, but rather that we engage one another in candor and respect. All of us seek only one thing: what is best for our university.
In fact, while the specifics differ, public institutions across the country are facing similar pressures and problems, including slashes in state funding and increasing tuition rates. The University of California system, for example, was hit with state cutbacks in the last year totaling $750 million. UC Davis Chancellor Linda Katehi spoke to the NewsHour about the impact.
We are making higher education more of a private good. We are asking the individual families and the individual students to pay for their own education. The time when the state was the main contributor to the cost of higher education is gone. And I don't necessarily see us going back to that.
Even with Teresa Sullivan holding her job at Virginia, all in all, it's been a rough year for leaders of public universities. The universities of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Oregon have all seen top-level changes in the past 12 months.
And we pick up on parts of this story now with Gordon Gee, president of Ohio State University. George Cohen is professor of law at the University of Virginia Law School and current chairman of the school's faculty senate. And Ann Neal is president of the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, an independent nonprofit organization that tracks issues in higher education. And I should say for the record before we start that I am a tuition-paying parent of a University of Virginia student. That out of the way, Gordon Gee, I'll start with you. I want to come to you first as a university president watching this from afar. Can you tell us in brief what you take from what happened at Virginia? What does it speak to for universities like yours?
Well, obviously, these are pressure times for universities, and I think that what this is evidence of is the fact that there are a lot of changes that are taking place external to universities, internal to universities, and how one aligns that between boards, faculty, staff, students, alumni, and friends. This is an early example of a number of the kinds of pressures that I think we're going to face, because this is a fundamental resetting of the American economic system, as you well know.
Ann Neal, you told us earlier that you generally were supportive of the board at Virginia. What do you think is the most important factor now facing public university? What's the problem exactly?
Well, I want to say first that clearly the process was deplorable in terms of its lack of transparency. But I do think it's very important that we not let the process eclipse the more important issue, really, about the future of public higher education. And I think what we've learned in the University of Virginia situation, and we can look at California and institutions across the country, is that we really are at a defining moment for public higher education. And I would suggest that if public higher education continues on its current course, that it is, in fact, on a collision course. One of the things that we've noted in our various studies is that today we spend two times the average of any industrialized nation on higher ed, but our results are far worse. We're graduating less than 60% in 6 years. A study called Academically Adrift looked at the learning gains of college students across the country and found that 45% didn't learn or had very minimal cognitive gain in the first 2 years. And as you know, as a tuition-paying parent, tuitions have gone up and skyrocketing for decades. And I think we finally have reached a point where colleges and universities are beginning to realize, and thank you, Board of the University of Virginia, for bringing this to the fore, that we've got to start looking at different ways of doing what we're doing.
All right, let me bring George Cohen in, because you were opposed to the board's original ouster of the president there. Picking up on what you just heard, do you think everyone buys in first to the need for a new model, the sense that things aren't working and a change is needed?
I think everyone agrees that there are a number of problems facing universities, and the faculties that I've talked to are all understanding of that and ready to move forward and work cooperatively toward change. I think what happened at the University of Virginia was we felt that we had a president who was able to work with faculty and was going to move us toward change, and the board made this sudden decision without consulting anyone, really, or including faculty. And what we want is a voice at the table, and we want to be able to contribute positively to constructive solutions to the problems we know we all face.
There was, Professor Cohen, just staying with you for a moment, there was this question of incremental versus rapid change. From where you sit, does it feel like rapid change is possible of the kind that we just heard, for example, called for by Ms. Neal?
I think there are a number of problems that need to be dealt with in a number of different ways, and there is no simple solution to a lot of these things. So for some problems, incremental change may be what's called for. For other problems, there may be a room for some kind of rapid change. But I think it's important to note that I don't see anything of the kind of emergency where there can't be a full and open discussion and debate about the things that need to be done, where you can include a variety of experts and different views. We have lots of expertise, for example, on the faculty at the University of Virginia, including experts on things like online education, which has been done in a lot of different areas of the university for a number of years. And we ought to build on that expertise and bring these people in to help create solutions.
Well, let me ask Gordon Gee. I mean, one of the issues here that's always raised is should universities, especially public ones, be run more like businesses, just more on a sort of corporate model? Can you see yourself as, how do you see yourself? Are you a CEO of a major corporation, or what would that mean?
And now, you know, the issue for universities is the fact that we are now in a moment in time in which we're really going to have to think very aggressively about change. At the same time, we have to understand that our business is the business of ideas. And so ideas are sometimes messy, sometimes they're difficult to put your arms around, but in my view, what we're about is we're about returning to the core. In my own instance, in my own institution, we are focusing on teaching and learning and research and ideas and faculty, staff, and students and 11 million Ohioans. And if that is, and if what we're doing at the university is not central to that core, then we will do something differently. You know, we have just privatized our parking, as an example, as an ability, now giving us the ability to be able to invest clearly in the central core of the institution. And often I hear this notion about we're privatizing, therefore we're corporatizing. That just is nonsense. What we're about is we're about really developing a new strategy for the funding and the structure and the dynamics of higher education. You can do it in an inclusive manner, but you have to move forward. There's a real urgency about what we need to do in higher education.
And Neil, you know, another thing that comes up is the question of dropping departments or dropping parts of what the academy, various universities do. Unsuccessful or unproductive ones, however one would define that. Would you advocate looking at that as things that universities need to do?
Well, I think we're going to have to look very broadly at a whole range of activities on our college campuses. Effective and efficient use of our academy focused on academic excellence doesn't take a corporate raider to do it. And I think this is, in fact, what has been raised very effectively at the University of Virginia, that there have been many, many topics that, quite frankly, haven't really been on the table. Looking at the budget for 12-13, questions of faculty teaching loads, can they teach more and go back to the standards, for instance, of 1980s, where they taught nearly one more than they do now? Can we find ways to reduce administrative bloat, which is really ramped up across the country at institutions everywhere? Can we do something about the proliferation of classes? For instance, we looked at the University of Virginia and we found there were 71 classes where there were 10 or fewer graduates. And these are the kinds of issues, the kinds kinds of questions that should be on the table. I don't think we necessarily need to dictate the outcome, but the fact is, unless we have that robust discussion, and now, it really will be a model of ever adding, that we just simply can't deal with anymore. Sure. I think it's interesting that since the GI Bill, it really has been a growth model, and Clayton Christensen of the Harvard Business School in his book, Innovative University, has talked very much to trustees and other communities that the growth model doesn't work, and here is an opportunity now for universities to really focus on what they do well.
All right, let me ask George Cohen to react to what you just heard, specifically about using that business model, taking hard choices.
Well, I agree that there are hard choices that need to be made. I think we need to keep in mind also the value of a liberal arts education, which is that if you have people who are trained to reason well, write well, speak well, do effective research, we don't know where the jobs of the future are going to be, and we need to be flexible in the way we educate our students because we don't know which languages will be the most important ones in 20 years, which technologies will be the most important ones. You need people who are able to adapt and respond to changing circumstances, and there is a value in being able to offer a portfolio of courses and subjects that can help students be trained to be adaptive.
Gordon Gee, do you want to weigh in? Wait, let me ask Gordon Gee to weigh in on this.
Well, obviously, I think that the process of change, I describe universities, American universities, this way. I think that we're elephants. I think we have to become ballerinas or else we're going to become dinosaurs. And we have to take charge of our own ability to be able to make those changes. Otherwise, they're going to be imposed from other places. We have to work very collectively. We have to work with our boards. But we have to move forward because we have no choice. I think that we also have to understand the American university is not broken. We still are at the pinnacle of higher education worldwide, but we also are greatly threatened if we do not make the kinds of changes that I believe are necessary in order to be able to be successful.
All right, we are going to have to leave it there. Very interesting subject, which we will return to. Gordon Gee, Ann Neal, and George Cohen. Thank you all three very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.